Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 2. We've reached the point in Revelation, in the flow of Scripture, through the movement of human history, this unfolding drama of redemption. You come to Luke chapter number 2. He is teaching us, He's telling us, He's informing us of the birth of the Son of God. There was a cast of individuals that were involved in that. There were Joseph and Mary we looked at last week. We're going to look at another group that were part of the cast, what we're calling the cast of Christmas. They were either instrumental in bringing His Son into the world, or they were witnesses. They were attendants at the birth of Christ. When you come to Luke chapter number 2, the text we're going to read this morning, it reminds us that there are no insignificant people. There is no insignificant person in the eyes of God. We talk about common, ordinary people. Do you realize that no one is ordinary to God? Every person is a product of the special creation of God. Nobody's an accident. And every human being, every human soul is valuable to the God of heaven. You're valuable to God. You say, preacher, I'm not valuable to anybody. I'm here to tell you, you're valuable to God. You say, preacher, I don't even like me. Doesn't matter. God loves you. He loves you. Here were some men. Some men that were looked on in their world as insignificant. But they're going to be significant to God. The shepherds. Look, if you would, verse number 8. As we move into the cast of Christmas, we now see the shepherds. And there were in the same country. If you don't have a Bible, the text verses will be on the screen. We're going to read extensively this morning. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Do you realize that we're so used to seeing shepherds in the Nativity and in Christmas plays and all of these things that they become more fiction to us than fact? But we're going to put ourselves where these men were. They're abiding in the field. They're vigilant. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. These men are on guard. They're at work. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were greatly fearful. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You say, preacher, the world hadn't known much of peace. Well, it did at that moment, because the Prince of Peace was born. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered, they marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them. She thought over them in her heart. Wonder what it all meant. Wonder what it was all about. Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Just imagine for a moment if you were there. You're on a Judean hillside outside the town of Bethlehem. There in the cold night, and suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel appears. You'd be afraid too. I'd be. You know, every time an angel appears to somebody in the Bible, they're afraid. They are. And they appeared and had a message from God that a baby would be born. Isn't that interesting? A baby would be born. Now, that wasn't anything uncommon. There was all kinds of babies being born during that day. Probably more than one baby being born in Bethlehem at that time. But this baby would be different. Not just any baby. This baby would be the Savior of the world. I wonder how you would respond to that. How would you respond to that? Let's see how they did that. Let's see how they responded. And let's learn some lessons from it this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your truth today. We thank You for how You've met with us, how You've blessed our hearts, how You've encouraged us. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word today. And I pray, Lord, that we might find help and hope and truth, Lord, for our hearts today. Teach us from your word. Lord, there's lessons that you want us to learn. But Lord, you don't want us to just learn. You want us to live. Lord, you want to bring life change. I pray, Lord, we'd be responsive to you today. Lord, there may be someone today that they're not where they ought to be with you. Their life is away from you. They're a Christian. They're saved, but they're not living for you. I pray they would get that right today. Lord, that every Christian would be drawn closer to you. All of us would be challenged in our lives. And Lord, for that one or two or three or maybe more today, Lord, that don't know you, they don't have the assurance if they died they'd go to heaven. I pray they'd come to know you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, when I began to think about the shepherds and I contemplated that first Christmas night, far different from anything that you and I understand as Christmas, I thought about their lowly station. Their lowly station in life. Remember I told you there's nobody insignificant with God? You know, that's not true of people. There are people that see other people as being common, ordinary, or insignificant. And you're going to find that was the case of these particular shepherds. As a matter of fact, any shepherd in that day. By the time of the Lord's birth, shepherding was no longer considered a noble occupation. They were despised. They were a despised class of people. They were occupying one of the lowest rungs on the social ladder of that day. They were thought to be uneducated and unskillful. They were looked down upon and were not even allowed to testify in court. If you were a shepherd, your witness meant absolutely nothing in a court of law. That's how low and how despised and looked down upon by this time shepherds and shepherding had become. Religious leaders considered them ceremonially unclean, and therefore they couldn't even attend the temple and involve themselves in religious ceremonies in that day. They were, and can I just tell you this, they were outcasts. You ever felt like an outcast? That's exactly how they felt. They were outcasts. They were looked down upon by society. That matter of fact, they were a needed, watch this, they were a needed nuisance. You needed sheep. Needed sheep for the temple and the sacrifices. Needed sheep for the wool and the clothing. They ate lambs and so there was sheep for food. And so somebody had to care for sheep because sheep can't survive on their own. And so there had to be shepherds. They were a necessary nuisance in that society. But it's interesting that while they were looked down upon and they may have been insignificant to men, when I read my Bible, they're not insignificant to God. They may have been outcasts as far as the world concerned, but they weren't outcasts to Him. You remember the Lord Jesus when He grows to manhood, and we'll see that in Luke's Gospel. He was received a book. He walks into the temple, into a synagogue for the very first time. He's began His public ministry. He opens the book. He turns to the prophet Isaiah, and here's what He read to that congregation. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He's not just talking about people that don't have any money. He's talking about people that are outcasts, people that are looked down on and insignificant in society, the people that are looked down upon as being humble and necessary nuisances. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." You ever been brokenhearted? "To preach deliverance to the captives," people that were in bondage to sin and Satan and self. "The recovering of sight to the blind." You realize before we're saved, the Bible describes us as being blind to spiritual things. "To set at liberty them that are bruised, them that life has beaten them up. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I believe that our God delights in making a difference in the lives of outcasts. What about you? So what was insignificant to the world is significant to God. Matter of fact, the work of the shepherd in tending sheep has great meaning in the Bible, mentioned over 700 times in the Bible. The Bible compares us to sheep. I'm not going to look at every verse I have in my notes, but I do love Psalm 95 verse 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Do you realize why shepherding is noble? Because my God is a shepherd God. Matter of fact, when the Lord Jesus came, he it's interesting, He wrapped Himself, as I've mentioned preaching through Psalm 23, He wrapped Himself in the clothes of a shepherd. He did. He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. He said, I am the Good Shepherd and giveth my life for the sheep. Later, the Bible's going to call Him the Great Shepherd who cares for His sheep. Do you realize tonight, this morning, that we have a heavenly Great Shepherd who is involved in your life and my life right now, caring for us, loving us, interceding for us. He's our advocate. Hey, I just want to tell you, I have a friend in heaven and His name is Jesus. Isn't that good? And He's the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. That means He's the one in charge. He is. Hey, by the way, I'm an under-shepherd. That's what He's called me to do, to shepherd a flock of His sheep here at Calvary Baptist Church. But He's the chief shepherd. The flock doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. You don't belong to me. You belong to God. And He's the chief shepherd. And one day He's going to come for all of His sheep. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad I can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. And the good shepherd is going to have His birth announced to a group of shepherds. Can I just mention a moment about their sheep? Can I just very quickly mention that these were no ordinary shepherds out there on those fields around Bethlehem. And these sheep weren't ordinary sheep. You realize Bethlehem is about 6 miles from Jerusalem. The Jewish historians tell us that these particular sheep were used for the daily offerings in the temple that were raised that were cared for and raised in the fields surrounding Bethlehem. And so these particular shepherds, although they were looked down upon and despised, they cared for the very sheep that would be taken, and morning and evening the lamb of these sheep would be sacrificed there in the temple to cover over the sins of the people. That's what was going on here. Do you realize somebody calculated that over 1,000 lambs a year was sacrificed in the temple at Jerusalem? You add that up, that's a staggering number, isn't it? You know, all of those lambs pointed to one lamb. Those sacrifices could never take away sin. They were just a picture of the one who would come and take away our sin. Not only was there a shepherd born in Bethlehem, I'm here to tell you there was a lamb born in Bethlehem, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Oh, what significance to God. Oh, they may have been lowly in the eyes of men, but they weren't lowly to God. You may be here this morning and you may feel lowly. You may feel like you're an outcast. You may feel like you're insignificant. I'm here to tell you, God knows who you are. God loves you and you're valuable to Him. Number two, not only do I see their lowly station, I want you to see their heavenly vision. So here they are out on the hillsides of Bethlehem, and suddenly an angel appears to them. Look at verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That means He arrived. He showed up. He manifested Himself. It speaks of a manifestation. He stood before them. He did. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And so not only was the angel, but God's glory was there. And they were sore afraid. They weren't just afraid, they were greatly afraid. I mean, these guys were terrified. And by the way, if I was standing out in the pitch black and an angel showed up with me, I'd be terrified too. And He had an announcement. Look, verse 10, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall meet all people. So suddenly, without warning, the angel of the Lord comes, the Shekinah glory of God, a manifest token of the presence of God. And these shepherds are filled with terror. There's a glorious appearance. And then He makes a glad announcement. He tells them not to be afraid. Fear not. He calmed their fears. Aren't you glad God calms our fears? Study your Bible, and time after time after time, God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to fear. Instead of having a year filled with fear, we ought to determine to have a year filled with faith. Instead of being fearful, we ought to be faith-filled. And suddenly, their fear, you're going to watch their fear is immediately down the road. As they hear the announcement, it's going to turn to faith. And the angel makes an announcement. And not only to calm their fears, but He's going to gladden their heart. He proclaims a message to them. It calls it good tidings. You know, these are the first ears to ever hear the good news. And they were lowly, insignificant, outcast shepherds on a Judean hillside. And God said, I want you to be the first to hear. Isn't that something? He said, I want you to be the first ones to hear that a Savior is born. Notice, you've been outcasts from my temple. You can't come to my worship. Men has forbidden you to come and to participate in my worship. And you feel like an outcast to me. But I just want you to know, you're not an outcast. I love you. You're important to me. You matter to me. And I want you to be the very first ones to hear that there's a Savior been born. Isn't it amazing when Jesus comes, He changes everything. Amen. He creates social upheaval. People that aren't significant suddenly become significant. And people that think they're significant suddenly become insignificant. You ever notice that? And so he proclaimed a message that was full of joy. He said, you don't have to be afraid. Listen, I got some joy to tell you. You don't have to remain in your sin. You don't have to be an outcast. You don't have to be away from God. Hey, a Savior's been born. Look at verse number 10. He said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It was not only a message that was given to them, proclaimed to them. It was personal. It's to all people. It's for everybody. But I want you to know God's sending it just for you. Can I help you understand something? If you were the only one, if nobody else needed to be saved, nobody else needed their sins to be forgiven, nobody else needed to be brought in a right relationship with God. Now we know everybody does, right? But if it was just one, unto you, He would have come. We talk about Him coming for the world. God said, "I want you to know He came for you." He came for you and you and you and you and you. It was a present message. He wasn't announcing something that would happen. He announced something that has happened. "For unto you is born this day," today. Can I tell you, there's no better day than today to be saved. No better day than today to have your sins forgiven. No better day than today to know that heaven is your home. That's exactly the message of these shepherds. It wasn't just that a baby had been born. No, a Savior is born, and I want you to know Him so that you can be brought into a right relationship with Me. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, today. That's what He's saying. And it was precious because it included a Savior. You know, they didn't know they needed a Savior. They didn't. You know, a lot of people don't think they need a Savior, but everybody needs a Savior. People all over the world, they don't know they need a Savior, but they need a Savior. One who could rescue us from our sins. I love what the angel told Joseph, said, "Now, when the babe's born, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." I'm glad He doesn't save me in my sin. He saves me from it. He didn't save me to leave me where I was. He saved me to pull me right out of it. Change my life and make me different. I'm glad we don't have to stay on the same road that we're on. I'm glad we can change highways. What about you? And it turned into a grand anthem. Now before you get there, think with me for a moment. Let's just use a little bit of sanctified imagination. So here's a group of shepherds. I don't know how many they are. You know, it depends on the size of the church and how many kids you got. You know, when you don't have enough parts to go around, you just have a whole lot of shepherds and wise men. Bath towel. You know what I'm talking about. I remember those days. I don't know how many there were. I don't know if there was 5, 10, 15, 20. I don't know how many were there that night. I can tell you if it's just one, that angel would appear to just that one. But there was a group there. And the angel appears to him, begins to give them the announcement. Do you realize that unbeknownst to that shepherd, the heavens were filled with angels? They just hadn't shown themselves yet. They're like this. Sort of like Brother Delp. If I say anything about the Cowboys, he's just like this. Because he wants to say something. And I never mistreat him over the Eagles. Never. I promise I will repent after the service. I promise. Can you imagine? They're up there in heaven trying to hold it all back. Trying to hold it all back. I mean, they're at any moment ready to explode because something has happened that's unimaginable. Something is happening that's so marvelous and so magnificent that the angels of heaven, there's one angel that got to give the news. They all get to do a part of the praising and the announcement of the next and fill the heaven. Can you imagine suddenly the heavens burst with light and there's angels as they're in heaven and suddenly they're praising and they're glorifying God and Jesus didn't even come for them. He came for us. Jesus didn't become an angel. He became a man. Look what it says. Verse number 13, and suddenly, I mean, the heavens burst forth. There was a grand anthem. I mean, there was a heavenly choir. There was an angel, a multitude, the heavenly host. Now, they weren't singing, they were saved. Praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. I believe it's right to say glory in church. What about you? If the angels can do it on a hillside, we can do it at church. Wouldn't you agree? You know, I've found the worship of God's not quiet. It's just not. Now, it's not chaotic, but it's not quiet. I mean, there's some verbal, vocal stuff going on here. And say, glory to God. And on earth, peace. I mean, listen, mankind, you don't realize what's just happened. You don't comprehend. You don't comprehend it. Our God, our Creator, has become one of you. He's been born. And because of that, you can have peace, and you can have hope, and you can have forgiveness, and you can have joy. Can I tell you, there are some presents at Christmas time that money cannot buy. Amen. You can buy all kinds of things, but you can't buy forgiveness, and you can't buy peace, and you can't buy joy. You can't purchase. Nobody has enough money to purchase. If you could, hey, listen, the wealthiest people in the world would have all of that, but they don't have it. But I can tell you some people that do, and they're called the children of God. It's a precious message. Oh my. And then thirdly, not only see their lowly station, not only see their heavenly vision, but I want you to look at their holy mission. They've got a mission. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. They began to say it over and over again. I can imagine this group. Hey, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem. Hey, we need to go to Bethlehem. We need to go. That's what's happening. They said one to another. Let me find my verse again. As the angels gone away, shepherds, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The Lord's made this known to us. God sent a message to us. Wow. Do you think they felt valued by God right then? I want you to feel valued by God right now. I do. Because He didn't just come for some lowly shepherds. He came for you and me. You're valuable to God. Fear is going to give way to faith. These shepherds didn't just hear the message. They're going to do something about it. Let me help you understand something. Bible faith always leads to action. It'll affect your will. It'll move you. It'll move you. It'll move you. That's what it'll do. That's what Bible faith does. They didn't just hear about it and say, oh, that's nice. Boy, I'm so glad we know about that. Hey, guys, aren't you glad you know that there's a Savior been born down in Bethlehem? Isn't that wonderful truth? Can I tell you that's what Christmas is going to all be about? Let me just put it to you this way. That faith-filled mission's wrong up there, okay? I changed the outline and they didn't change it up there before it got here. There's the wrong one. It's okay. Just ignore that, okay? Let me give you this. Y'all just pay attention to me. You ready? And it's not these guys' fault. They don't. You ready? They didn't miss Christ.
That's right.
They didn't miss Him. Let me just help you. There's a whole lot of people going to miss Him. They're going to have festivities and parties. Matter of fact, they're going to sell a whole lot of alcohol.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be a whole lot of people drunk. They are. Just another excuse to party. That's all it is for them. That's what the world sees it as. We get some time off and we can have a good time. We'll party at Jesus' expense. And they'll miss Him. But He came for them.
That's right.
Don't miss Him. You've heard the same announcement the shepherds heard. You know what that tells me? You're valuable to God. God wanted you to hear that message. Nobody's here by accident. Don't miss Him. Don't let your Christmas go by. And by the way, Christian, don't get so caught up in the trappings of it. You know, they didn't get so caught up in the angels and the glory and the brightness and oh wow, look at all we've experienced. They didn't do that. They didn't get all caught up in that they missed Him. They said, no, let's go see. Let's go see. We need to go check this out. There was something in them that wanted to see the Savior. Did you see that? And the angels told them what to look for. told them, said back in verse 12, "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe." You know what they were saying? You need to go to Him. You need to go to Him. You're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Do you know that verse 12, you're going to find Him? And then when you come down to verse number 16, they found Him. The word "find" is the reward or the blessing to be found. The word "found" implies a diligent search. They went from stable to stable looking. They said, "You're going to find a baby. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in a manger." And listen, you're not going to find Him in a palace. You're not going to find Him in a hotel. You're not going to find Him in the inn. You're going to find Him in a stable. Shepherds searched and they found Him. The majority of the world wasn't looking for Him then, and they're not looking for Him now. Jeremiah said, "You shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." You know, nobody's ever set out to find the Savior that didn't find Him. They were the first witnesses of His birth. Look what the Bible says, verse 17. "And when they had seen..." When they had seen it. Did you see that? Faith had become sight. They had searched and they found. They stared in awe as they looked down at the newborn babe. They took in the sight of realization dawned in their heart. That's Him. That's the Messiah. That's the Savior. Faith in their heart. Those men were saved that night. Their sins were forgiven. They were right with God. By the way, this Christmas, your sins can be forgiven. Let me tell you, they didn't miss Christ. Number two, I'm going to give this to you. These are the takeaways. Are you ready? They didn't fail to be faithful. What does that mean, preacher? They didn't keep it to themselves. They went and shared it with somebody else. Look at verse 17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." I don't believe they spent a whole lot of time talking about, "Boy, we were standing on the hillside, and you'll never believe it. I saw an angel." I don't believe that was it. I believe they're saying, "Listen, we were on the hillside and there were some angels. They peered, showed, and we were afraid, and they told us not to be afraid. And then they had this marvelous message for us that a Savior, that the Messiah had been born. And we went and we looked and we found Him. And I'm going to tell you, He's here." I believe that's the message.
Amen.
They was telling where they could find a Savior. He's over there. He's over there in that stable, and you're going to find Him in that manger. And listen, you need to go. You need to go. We found Him. And they didn't go. They missed Him. But the shepherds didn't. Can I tell you, everybody that you share that you found Him is not going to respond to what you share with them. They're not necessarily going to want what you want. But that doesn't mean that we quit telling them. We need to not fail to be faithful here at Christmas time.
Amen.
Every one of us have lost family members and friends and co-workers and people that don't know the Lord. And you know what? Don't fail to be faithful. Find a way to share with them that a Savior... Listen, we're not just talking about all the trappings of Christmas. We're not just talking about all that. Let me just remind you what this is all about. There's a Savior, and I know Him. He changed my life. You don't have to say it the way I said it right there, but find a way to share with them the good news that a Savior is born. In fact, they didn't keep it to themselves. They shared it for others. They wanted others to hear about it. You know what everybody needs to hear, don't they? They made known abroad, the Bible said. They told it far and wide. And here's your last takeaway. You ready? They didn't miss Christ. I'm just telling you, don't miss Him. Young man, young lady, don't you miss the Lord. Mom, Dad, don't you miss the Lord. Don't miss Him. Don't leave Him out. He ought to be the centerpiece of our lives. They didn't fail to be faithful. They shared. They shared what was made known to them. They made it known to others. They didn't keep it in. They let it out. Most Christians, they don't let it out. They keep it in. And then lastly, they didn't fail to give God the glory. Look over, if you would, verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God." I can imagine. Could you imagine being in that group? Guys, this is great. Can you imagine? Wow. God, let us see His Son. God sent an angel just to tell us how we can meet the Savior and how we could be saved in our sins, how we could belong to Him. We're not outcasts, guys.
That's right.
We're valuable to God. We belong to Him. God loves us.
Amen.
And they're giving God all the glory.
Right.
You know, they didn't go around and say, "Let me just tell you something. Angel appeared to me." You ever had an angel appear to you? He appeared to me. You know, some Christians, That's their testimony. You pray like I pray. You live for God the way I live for God. You all about them, what they do, what they do, what they do, what they do. Not these shepherds. They gave Him the glory.
Amen.
Can I tell you, Christian, it's not about you and me.
Right.
It's about Him. And whatever good happens in our lives, our marriages, our families, our churches, whatever good happens in our jobs, God did it.
Amen.
And He ought to get the glory. I thought about something this morning. I woke up this morning early. We didn't have a 8:30 service, but I woke up like we did. Same time, same channel, and I was here, all that. And I have a little more energy. But anyway, what I was going to say was I woke up and I thought to myself, I get to go to church today. I get to worship You, Lord. God, I woke up today and my hands worked. God, I woke up today and my legs worked. God, I woke up today and I could breathe without a machine breathing for me. I woke up today, God, and I could see. God, I just want to thank You today that I woke up.
Amen.
And I get to go to Your house.
Glory to You.
Can I tell you, coming here is not a drudgery, it's a delight.
That's right.
There are people who would love to be here and they can't.
Amen.
There's people I just talked to this week battling disease, cancer. You know what their desire is? Preacher, if I could just come to church one more time. If I could just come. Don't ever get the idea that somehow we did God a favor today.
That's right. Amen.
God did us a favor.
That's right.
They'd let us come to His house. And folks, to give Him glory. Because it's all for His glory.
Amen.
This Christmas, don't forget to give Him the glory. Don't forget to do that. And to praise Him for what He's done. You say, preacher, do you witness to your extended family every Christmas? Every Christmas. But I tell you what, I don't buttonhole all of them. I can't. You know, when I first time I ever joined my wife's family, they would whisper to each other, now be careful, there's the preacher. There's the preacher. That's family. It's hard to witness to family, isn't it?
Yeah.
So every year, you know what I do? I just take a moment because I'm the preacher, so I get to ask the blessing over the food. By the way, when your family comes, don't let the little one pray. You pray. It's sweet when they pray. It's sweet. But they're not going to pray like you pray. And I thank God. I say, God, thank You for letting us come together as a family. Thank You, Lord, for those that are here. And Lord, we miss those that are not here. But God, I want to thank You most of all. And suddenly, here I go. I just want to thank You for Christmas. I want to thank You for a Savior because, Lord, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
And I thank You that He came my way one day. And Lord, that my sins are forgiven. And Lord, You died for the sins of the world. You died for everybody. And Lord, You want everybody to be saved. You know what I just did in about 30 seconds? Because I don't pray a long time. There's food there. People want you to pray short.
That's right.
But pray what's important. I thank God for the food. But I thank You most of all. And I praise Him for a Savior. And in my prayer, which is filled with praise, I give a gospel witness to my family. That way they can never say they've never heard. Why don't you give a gospel witness to your family this year? Why don't you invite somebody to the house of the Lord? Why don't you let God use you like He used the shepherds? And always remember, you can't take the gospel to the wrong person because nobody's an outcast to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.